since our first yes to you, when we came to know you, when we became your children because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that we would continue to have a yes, Lord, when you speak to us, when you lead us, when you guide us, when you teach us. We are open, Lord, to your teaching by the Holy Spirit. And our hearts do say yes, Lord. Even sometimes when we don't quite understand things, we have come to know and we are coming to know more and more of who you are, your character, your nature, that we can implicitly trust you, even though that through natural eyes at times we may not quite understand what we are seeing in the sense realm or in the physical realm. But because we have and are coming to a place of deeper intimacy and knowledge of you, that we can trust your word. We can trust you. As the scripture says, that we are to trust you with all of our hearts and not depend on our own thinking. But we are learning to acknowledge you in all of our choices. And as a result of that, Scripture says that you will direct the feet and path of our life. So teach us evermore, Lord, to trust you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you would agree that we do want to trust the Lord with all of our heart, but at times this gets in the way? Our own rational thinking, trying to figure things out, trying to, well, was that really God? You know, how many of you ever heard something from the Lord and you were like, yeah, I really believe this is what God wants me to do. Then you start thinking about it. Well, we're not as sure. And God wants it to be that we can always be sure. Okay? So 2 months ago, as I started this subject of yes, God, we looked the first time in John chapter 21 after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and Peter took the disciples out fishing. And as we shared then that Peter was a man of influence, and we are all people of influence in one way or another. We have influence on people. When we say certain things or if we know about certain things, as I look back there and see Denise's mom, Marie, she is an authority on Christmas cookies. And we have enjoyed these Christmas cookies for many years. And so if she was ever to say anything about Christmas cookies, she has my full attention because she's the authority on Christmas cookies. And so we have a tendency to listen to people that have an influence in specific areas. And we have to always make sure that our influence that we have is always guided in the right way. And Peter had an influence over these disciples, walking with Jesus for 3.5 years. His first call, the very first time that Jesus appears to him, or Jesus is walking and he sees Peter and his brother, you know, mending their nets, and he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And saw this wonderful, miraculous ministry of Jesus Christ all the way to the cross, all the way to his burial, and even to his resurrection where Jesus said, go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. What does he end up doing? Let's go fishing. And, you know, we took some time and we looked at that a couple months ago, especially at the end of the teaching when Jesus says, do you love me more than these? And at times we have to ponder Scripture. We have to look, what was it Jesus was pointing to? Was he really pointing to the other disciples? Do you love me more than the rest of these disciples? Or do you love me than this great catch of fish? And it was almost like Jesus was taking him back to 3.5 years ago. Didn't I tell you, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? What are you out there on a boat again for? Are you willing? You have Peter said, let's go fishing, and they all went on the boat with him. He had great influence. So if Jesus can get to the person that has an influence, if Jesus can get it, the person's attention, that's a leader, then that leader will influence the others. And of course, you know, Jesus asked Peter this three times, and that's where we get our first yes, Lord. I'll just pick it up right here in John 21, beginning with verse 14. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15. So when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said, "Feed my lambs." And we took some time looking at the different ways what Jesus was talking here about feeding his lamb or tending to his flock, feeding his sheep. But the question that was asked, "Do you love me more than these?" And there was a yes, Lord. And I'm sure every one of us that if there was something pointed out in our life that the Lord wanted to address, and there was a choice given to us, if there was something real prominent within our life versus Jesus Christ, and if Jesus was there to ask us the question, "Do you love me more than?" Is, you know, in other words, do we have something in our life that seems to have more of a dominant influence than Jesus does? And I'm sure if it was pointed out, that our hearts would also say, "Yes, Lord." We're born of God. We're children of God. We have the righteousness of God. We have a disposition or an inclination to righteousness now. So we may not like something that the Lord is pointing out, but if it's something within our life that is pulling us away, or if we have an influence over someone's life and that influence is being used improperly, do we trust the Lord enough that he will address it? And the answer is yes. And so Peter got the message and went on to serve Jesus all the way up to his final end, or his last letter that we have written of him is 2 Peter. And so he got the message. He got the message. I need to be about my Father's business. As Jesus was about his Father's business, Jesus knew that he had to do what the Lord first told him 3.5 years ago. There was fish that he needed to catch, and they weren't in the ocean. They were multitudes of people. And to this day, Peter's message continues to go forth, and we learn from it. Last month, we looked at the second yes, Lord, was from the two blind men. And let's just pick that up in Matthew chapter 9 real quick. Matthew 9. And I took a lot of time, and we spoke about the blind men, how they had to get to a place of hearing the word of God or hearing the testimony about what Jesus was doing to have such faith in Jesus that when they heard of Jesus that they weren't going to be denied. And we'll pick it up here in verse 27, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. So when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when they came into the house, and remember we took some time, how does a blind man get in a house? Someone either has to lead him or they got to go against the wall. I was trying to relay a picture to you last month that these guys were determined. It says Jesus was in the house, we're getting in the house. In other words, wherever Jesus is at, we have heard about this miracle-working Jesus. We've heard about how he heals the sick, how the lepers are cleansed, how the dead are raised, how the blind receive their sight. We're going to be one of them. And so that no matter, they heard Jesus was nearby. Now just imagine you being blind. None of us would ever want to be blind. Ray has gone through a lot of things within his life, having one eye and then having cornea transplants on that one eye. He knows what it's like being blind. Larry knows what it's like to have a retina detachment when he was young and being in the hospital and not able to move his head. I got metal in my eyes when I worked as a heavy-duty diesel mechanic, and it just happened to be that the mask I had on when I was grinding, the sparks flew up and just happened. This is how crazy it is. It just happened that as the sparks are flying up the metal, two pieces of metal came down and poof, speared each eye. Isn't that crazy? And I had goggles on, but not full-covered goggles. You know, they were just... They had a little space up there in the top. And I remember that drill coming in when they drilled out my eyes, you know, to get that metal out. You know, the strange part was that the metal started rusting, and I had this little rust ring on my eyes where the metal was at. And so, you know, that was strange. And then to have those patches over, I was completely dependent upon Christine. I was, you know, there wasn't anything I could do until those patches could be taken off and I could see. So it's amazing when you got to put your hands in the life of somebody else. But here are these two guys. They haven't seen. It doesn't say if they were blind from birth, but we know that they're blind now. And they heard about Jesus, and they heard the testimony about Jesus, and they something inside them was, my life is going to be blessed by Jesus. I'm going to receive my sight. Are we that tenacious when it comes to the promises of God? When we find out what God's word has to say, will we, now remember I said this last month, will we in a dark place, okay, these guys were blind, even when we don't have everything right, even when things haven't really changed within our life, and we might even say that, you know, I'm in a dark spot right here, or I don't really know. But if we know enough about Jesus, are we willing where we are at right now to get to Jesus and have that situation changed? Or are we settling? He doesn't want us to settle. And if these guys were that tenacious, then we need to be a whole lot more tenacious. If these guys were that fervent about making sure that they're going to get to Jesus and heard that he went in the house and like, where's this house? And I'm going to get to Jesus in that house. I don't care if I got to go find a window, crawl through a window, get through a door. We're going to get to Jesus. We need to have more determined faith, more determined, aggressive, moving toward the Lord Jesus Christ instead of, oh, this is just a nice little story. But what was Jesus' question to them in verse 28? Do you believe? Do you believe that I'm able? Do you believe that I have the capacity? Do you believe that I have the ability to do this? And what was their response? Yes, Lord. And that was the second yes, Lord, that we looked at. But interestingly, we'll look what Jesus said in verse 29. He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, see that you tell that you tell no one about it, or that no one, see that no one knows. Yeah, right. Verse 31. I tell you what, if a person's blind and they get sight, you're going to try to put a muzzle on them? I don't think so. When they departed, can you just imagine they get out of the house? Are we far enough away? I don't think he can hear us. Guess what? Oh, they spread the news about him in all that country. So, you know what's interesting? It says, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now, you heard me say Sunday, and I've been looking at the subject of faith. I've been looking at the subject of God's word in relationship to faith, or Jesus in relationship to faith. Simply, faith means to have a persuasion, to have a belief, to have a trust, to have a confidence in, to be fully persuaded about. And he says, according to your faith. So they were fully persuaded, they were fully confident that Jesus was able to do this because they had heard enough about, they had heard the word about Jesus enough. They had heard the word about Jesus enough. They had heard the testimony about Jesus enough. I think we need to stay with the word of God until it rings as a reality within sight of our heart. We need to stay with the Word of God, stay with the Word of God until something supernatural takes place. Every one of you here that have a faith in Jesus Christ, that you know today, you know that day that the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ was shared with you, you heard about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming and taking on human flesh, living on this earth, dying, taking all of our sin upon the cross, dying on that cross, taken off that cross, put in a tomb, laid there for 3 days with a rock over it, with a stone so huge with a Roman seal on it, and 3 days later he resurrected from the dead, and we stand here today because of a miracle of new birth. There was something happened at some point in your life. Something supernatural occurred when that gospel message came, and I believe that. You know, I believe that. Something happened. And it was the Holy Spirit that quickened it to you that it's real, it's true, and you grabbed hold of it and made it your personal reality. And God wants to do that in everything, in everything. However many times it took for you to hear that gospel message, however many times it takes us to hear something, so it can be according to our faith. Our faith in what? Our faith in that truth or that promise or that teaching that is being taught to us, and then all of a sudden we get it. And there's a supernatural thing that occurs. There's a belief that takes place within inside the heart, and then we receive the result of that scripture or of that promise or of that teaching. And so that's what we have to realize here, that just the same it was with these two guys, that it can be the same with us. Amen? And so can our faith develop? And the answer is yes. Can what we know about the Word of God increase? Yes. In order for faith to be increased, what you know about God must increase. And how do we know about God? In the Word of God. Okay? So if there is... Let's see, who was I talking to today? Talking to someone today concerning faith and concerning fear and about the afterlife and... As a pastor, I have talked, well, let's see, pastor since 93, and so I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 81, so been baptized in the Holy Spirit since 81, saved, gave my life to Jesus in 1977. So there's been a lot of times that if any of us have any length with the Lord, there's probably people we've talked to over the years. And it seems for me that sometimes when I talk to believers, and especially if they get a bad report about something, or death may be imminent, or let's say you go to the doctor and they say, oh, you may have this. And sometimes where does our mind go? I mean, we just take this little report, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're carrying this 10-pound ball, you know. And then we go back to the doctor, oh, we misread that. That was just a shadow. We don't like hearing things like that, do we? But talking to a lot of people over the years, that God wants to deal with the spirit of fear or the fear of death. And it's amazing that when I said, if we get down to the crux of it, what is it that you're really afraid of? I don't want to die. And so with me talking to a lot of people, it's that sometimes we hold on to this life, and you've heard me say this statement, we hold on to this life so much as if there is no eternal life. Not that we have a morbid sense of desire of wanting to die. When it's time to go, it's time to go. The suit drops off. This is just our earth suit. My dad had a scuba suit. It was an apparatus with a tank and the goggles and the skin that he had put on in order to go into a different atmosphere, in order to go deep underneath the water. And don't astronauts have spacesuits? Okay, their bodies cannot handle that pressure up there, and so they have to put an exterior suit on so that they can dwell or they can function in that atmosphere. This is our earth suit. And we have to realize that with this earth suit, that one day we're going to put off this earth suit. But while we're here, if I get a rip in my sweater, and if I believe I can sew it back up and not get rid of the sweater, I'll sew it back up. God has created this body. Any of you ever had a cut? How is it today? Do you still have the cut? Is it still bleeding? Or does it scab over and over time heal? God created this body to be self-healing. He also gave us his promises in his word that we can trust him when certain things are going on, so we don't have to accept the status quo of a report. We can start believing God's report. Okay? But it's going to require us to hear what the Word of God has to say, to get prayer if we need prayer. This past Sunday, a person came up and said, this is going on in my body, and I guess I'm supposed to come, not used to church stuff, I guess I'm supposed to come forward and you're going to touch me. I said, sure, but we're going to do it according to James chapter 5. I said, you're a believer in Jesus, so we're going to do James chapter 5. And I took James chapter 5, I read the scriptures from James chapter 5, and we did what James chapter 5 had to say. You know, we just really just need to get right down to doing what God wants us to do. Amen? And we need to continue. I said, now, after this prayer, I want you to go ahead and begin thanking the Lord for your health and for your healing, and that we followed what the Scripture has to say, and you're going to go ahead and learn to stand on your healing. So she contacted me during the week and sent me an email and says, where's that Scripture again? I want to read. I want to read what took place. I want to read what happened to me this past Sunday. I like that, happened. And she goes, somewhere in John. I said, no, James. You got the J right, but let's get the right book. And so I sent off the email with a passage of Scripture because she wanted to go back and read because she did not know that there were instructions like that in the Bible. There's a lot of people that don't know that there's instructions in the Bible. Or what's the other instructions from Mark? Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay, so we want to apply the Lord's instruction. But we also want to make sure that we're being instructed in the Word of God, we're being taught in the Word of God, so that the Word of God that is being planted in us, that the faith associated with that is being developed within us, so that when we do need to get prayer, as you notice in James chapter 5, it says, call for the elders of the church. You see, the faith is on the part of the person. It says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Why do you think James put it like that? He wanted them to exercise their faith. He wanted them to call for the elders of the church to come to them for the anointing of oil and for the prayer of faith. He wanted that the sick person to invoke their faith and say, I would like prayer. Okay? And there's a lot of times I've gone to, like, we'll get a call here at church and so-and-so's in the hospital. Would you go visit them? And sometimes it surprises people when I ask them a question. Do they want me to come? See, it says, let them call. Let them ask for them to come. See, they have to exercise their faith. There's been times I've gone to the hospital and I walk into a hospital room. What are you doing here? Well, I'll leave if you want. No. So because they didn't call, I'll sit there for a few minutes and share the Word of God with them to build their faith up. Because at times, if they're not expecting me to come or an elder to come or a deacon to come visit them, and do you know that sometimes people will go into the hospital and they won't want somebody else to know that they're in the hospital? It's an element of pride. It's an element of what are people going to think? Who cares? Get the prayer, get well, get out. Right? So, okay, so that was the two that we looked at. And today, let's go down here to, oh, goodness gracious, what's another one of these yes, Lords? Let's go to Matthew 15. Let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13 is kind of interesting because it's a different kind of yes, Lord. It's after all these wonderful parables from the parable of the sower was spoken by Jesus. And then him giving the understanding of that, then the parable of the tares about bad seeds that are sown in, then talking about the coming of Jesus and doing a separation, and then there's the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price, and then the dragnet. And so you have these wonderful parables here. And then at the end of these parables, Jesus asks his disciples a question. And this is the question that he asked them in verse 51. So Matthew 13, 51. Have you understood all these things? Now, at this point, their answer is what? They said to him, yes, Lord. Now, you know, there's a couple of them they didn't understand. What does this mean about the parable of the tares? They didn't. So at this point, they understand, but as Jesus was saying it, they didn't understand some things, but he had already explained it to them. So he gets to the end of this, and he asks them at the very end, now I've gone over all these different parables, these different similitudes, these different objects to teach you a spiritual lesson. Did you get what I was saying? And they said, yes, Lord. And the reason why I picked out this one here for this evening and maybe the next one is God. Do you believe that God wants to give you an understanding of his word? You know, it's one thing to read a parable and it's another thing to go, what in the world did he just say about that? What are these parables talking about? You know, we sing a song here. He is the pearl of great price that I long for. So in the song, it's referring to Jesus being the pearl of great price. And so there's an interpretation that when you read the pearl of great price, that the focus is about Jesus, and it's and the merchant who is out seeking pearls. In other words, do we go about looking for value and purpose in life? And there's this merchant going to looking for these for pearls. He's trying to find what he can invest his life in, what he can give himself over for. How many of us look for things in life? We look for satisfaction here, with satisfaction there. We spent our money on this, we've spent our money on that. But then the truth of Jesus Christ came to us. And we are willing, like, you got my all. I just give you my all. You know, he's a pearl of great price. And so after all these things here, do you understand what I have said to you? And they said, yes, Lord. Then Jesus makes a comment about a scribe. Does anybody here know what a scribe is in the Bible? When you read about the scribes and Pharisees. He's somebody who, they are people who write. And a lot of times what the scribe's job was to do was to copy scripture, was to copy all the Old Testament passages, and they were very methodical about it. They would even have scribes look at the scribe's work, and then have another scribe come and look at that scribe's work, because, you know, in the Hebrew language, if they just get one little dash wrong, it changes the whole meaning of the word. Right? And so, but the scribes also, because they knew the word of God so much, they also spoke what scripture had to say. So they not only just copied scripture, but because they were so familiar with scripture, they were also used to communicate what a truth or what maybe Moses was saying or one of the other prophets were saying. They would also be teachers. So they weren't just copiers of the word for another parchment, but they also were teachers of the word. Now, this is what Jesus makes a statement here after they say, yes, Lord, in verse 51. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, the disciples said to him, yes, Lord. Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure, things new and old. And what Jesus is trying to communicate here to all of us, when we learn something, we are stewards of that household of that truth. God are we not considered the temple of God? Does the Bible not refer to us in another place as the house of God or the dwelling place of God, spiritually speaking? And with inside of our household, we are being taught the word of God, and we are bringing in the word, and we're bringing in the word, and we've got the storehouse of all this different word. And what Jesus is trying to say, that we are also responsible for everything that we're hearing to be communicators to other people. We are to be scribes that are instructed. We are to be scribes of the Lord, or spiritual scribes by the Holy Spirit, in order to bring a truth out. It could be something new to a person, or it could be something we're reiterating. When it talks about old and new, some people refer to that as that we can go to the Old Testament or the Old Covenant and bring in new covenant spiritual realities, or take what Jesus said or what the Apostle Paul said and get the revelation that God wants us to have and communicate it to someone else. So it could be something we've already learned, or maybe something that somebody else has learned, but they need to be reinforced in it again. Or it could be something new. But we have this treasure. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We've been given so much that God wants us to learn how to communicate it to other people. See, a lot of times when we think of the scribes and Pharisees, we think of a negative connotation with them, don't we? But Jesus is speaking that we can be scribes of the Lord. We can be teachers of the Lord. And as, now remember, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that what the word of God we have received is not written in commandments of stone like the Ten Commandments. But it's been written on the tablets of our heart. And so the Lord wants to wants us, the spiritual teaching that we've been receiving and the spiritual teaching we've been getting and the truths that are coming to us, and we're starting like, you know what? I'm getting a little bit of understanding about this subject. You know, I didn't really understand what prayer was, and I've been reading about prayer, and I've been actually practicing prayer, and I even think I'm getting answers from God, and I'm finding out this scripture and this scripture that all these things that the Word of God has to say about prayer, and somebody else may listen to you and say, really? Well, what are you learning? So you're taking something that you're learning and you're applying to your life and you begin communicating that truth. You're being a spiritual scribe led by God and the Holy Spirit to begin penning it upon their heart, to begin writing it upon their heart. Now, there's a lot of times that I've shared a lot of things that I have known. I've known there's some basic teachings that we all know. And we may say that's old to us, but to somebody else it's new. And so God wants you to communicate the things that you're established in and the things that you're freshly learning. There's something about when we communicate truth to somebody, it does something to us and it does something to them. We should look to communicate the truths that we are learning into somebody else's life. It helps you. This is what somebody told me. When we had the New Life Principles class, the last time we did it and we chose teachers to teach it, we did it in here, right? We did it in here, we recorded it. And you know, it's so neat when I talked to some of the teachers that taught that class. You know what? There was something about getting in the Word of God that I really haven't done in such a long time. You know, I read the Word of God, I study the Word of God, but when I needed to get in the Word of God about this subject, it's like these light bulbs started going on, and it was really fresh to me. It was like there was a new vitality when they had a purpose in their study. When there was a purpose, they knew they were going to communicate that to somebody else, and they knew that there was a time in which they were going to do it, let's say a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in 2 weeks, they were going to need to teach this subject. And so they're really getting in the Word of God, but they're really enjoying it. And so there was, because they had a time in which they were going to become a spiritual scribe, they were really diligent to study that material, to learn about that material, to research that material, so that when they got up, the Holy Spirit could use what they were going to communicate and begin writing it upon the hearts of other people that were listening. And at times, if we don't have a purpose or if we don't have somebody to communicate something with, we get dry. We go through the motions of study. And then maybe an hour or so later, what did I just read? What was that I was just, you know, what was that scripture? But I guarantee you, if you're studying for a purpose, you're getting ready to communicate it to somebody, or you have a time that you're going to deliver it, it's like, oh, I just looked at this scripture, I looked at that scripture. I mean, bop, 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 bop. It's just like right there. So why don't we begin looking for people to communicate things to? Lord God, you just shared this truth with me today. I wonder who you're going to want me to speak this to. And so then you begin looking for a heart that you can write it on, a life that you can impart it to. So always know that the things that you're learning are just not for you. They're there for someone else also. And so we want to be like Jesus. Have you understood these things? Yes, Lord. Well, you've got a household, you've got a treasure of these things now, and you're going to become a spiritual scribe, and I want to use what you've just understood, I'm going to use you as a spiritual scribe to communicate it to others now. So he was even letting his disciples know, you're just not to keep this, you're to communicate this. Okay, so he wants us to bring things out. And doesn't life bring things out? How many of you go through things in life and bring things out other than the scripture? Right? Oh my God, what the blank is this happening again for? What? You know, in other words, or is this an opportunity? Wait a second, is there something I've studied or is there something of God's word that I've learned? This is coming back or I'm experiencing this. Is there something that I've learned I can apply what God's word has to say about this? See, a lot of times, why is it we gravitate toward the carnal instead of gravitate toward the spiritual? Or is it we've just been trained that way? How about some new scribe training? Spiritual, Holy Spirit scribe training. Amen? And so, you know, when we begin looking at this and you start looking at your Yes, Lord scriptures And when Jesus just simply says, have you an understanding of all these things? And they said, yes, Lord. And then he's wanting them, therefore every scribe instructed. In other words, you've been instructed. And I believe that the Lord wants us to consider ourselves scribes. He wants us to consider ourselves just not receivers, but givers. We receive to give. We receive to give. And that's what we have to understand, that if truth is being communicated to us, it's to be internalized, it's to be a revelation to us, it's to transform our life, but it's also to be communicated into somebody else's life in the capacity that we can. We know that there are specific teachers in the body of Christ. Let me just say this. Sometimes people don't feel that they're worthy to share something of God with somebody. But yet, if there's something you're good at, you don't have any problem speaking about that to somebody. You know, if there's something that, like I mentioned earlier about Marie, if you asked her about some Christmas cookies, about these kinds, she'd go, bah, 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 yeah, 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 but I'm not going to give you the recipe. There's just certain things that it just flows right out. Well, there's certain things of God you can learn about, and when asked about it, it just flow right out. And that's the way it should be. We should be getting to know God, getting to know Jesus, getting to know this word, so that when we're asked about something and we do know about it, well, you know, let me just share with you what I learned. And it just should be natural. Is it natural? Or do we start sweating? And, oh my God. Why would we get like that? Why all of a sudden? If we can talk so freely about something else, to me, my walk with God, my relationship with God should be just as natural as my relationship with my wife, that I should just be able to communicate freely what I'm learning. And it should be a free-flowing communication that we could have with somebody, because we want to help them. We want to encourage them. We want to edify them. We want to instruct them in what we ourselves have received from God. Amen? And there's a passage here. Let's look at this one here. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I think I'm just going to end with this one here this evening. Sometimes I try to cover so much stuff, and I'm not, the Lord's trying to teach me how to not cover so much information at one time. And this has been a very good spiritual work for me. Okay, now listen to what Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 3. And he's talking about people who are persecuted. People that, you know, if you're a Christian, at times we get made fun of. Or you're one of those religious nuts or whatever it is that they might say, oh, you go to church every day? I go, yeah, I do. You want to come? You just can't let it get to you. Or they see you every Sunday. Are you going to church again this Sunday? Yeah, you want to go? Yeah, just, you know, don't sit there and just get all bent out of shape because somebody has said something. Because it says up here in verse, I'll start with verse 8. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. It says, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. He's talking about not just those in the body of Christ, people that you come in contact with that just may not be very friendly. He's saying have compassion on them. Learn to treat them as you would treat a brother or a sister in your natural family that you like. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Be polite. Not returning evil for evil. Okay, he says, don't respond the same way. If someone, sometimes marriage counseling can be a drag. Especially when they do the tit for tat. You're in their marriage counseling, you know, two people saved, born again, the Holy, baptized the Holy Spirit, been in the Word of God for a long time. I said, what's going on with you two? What's happening here? And then all, well, she said, oh, but you said. Oh, but she's, I mean, all of a sudden I'm just like going, I mean, just back and forth. Do you realize that at times I have to take something off my desk and I said, now listen to me, here's going to be the rules. When this person is holding my pen, They have the floor. You can't say a word. Are you done? Yes. Okay. Here, you have the floor. And the other one. It's just amazing. And I bring them back to scriptures like this. I said, why don't we apply this? Let's apply some compassion and love for each other right now and tender-hearted, and let's be courteous or respectful. Just be respectful of each other right now. Oh, you're just asking too much. You just don't know what... It doesn't say the situation. It says, as believers, this is the way we are. Then it goes up here to say, not returning evil for evil, tit for tat, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you might inherit a blessing. So it's almost like what Jesus said. What was what we call the golden rule? It's at Matthew chapter 7. What is the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So can that work in marriage counseling? Can that work in everything? It works in everything. So when someone is reviling you or railing you or cutting you down or speaking derogatory to you or negative to you, it says bless them back. There's another passage in Romans chapter 12 that says, as much as depends upon you, live at peace with all people. As much as depends upon you. So can we, with our best ability, by the help of God, can we diffuse the situation? If they're yelling, does that mean we yell? No. We can just talk with a calm voice and be what? At peace with God. And is that difficult at times? Especially when somebody's in your face and saying this or saying that. Why am I saying this? Let's drop down here. Let's drop down here to verse 13. There's something I'm wanting you to hear in regard to being a spiritual scribe or being able to communicate a truth from God's word. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer, okay, even if you should suffer for righteous sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. See, once again, we take it back to what I said earlier today. We take it back to you knowing God. God is my shield. God is my fortress. God is my present help in time of trouble. When you get to know who God is, that person cannot really make you mad. If that person makes you mad, you've allowed what they've said to enter into you. I choose to allow what God says to be part of me. I'm in charge of my life. Well, you know, they said that, and therefore I got this way. So you're trying to say what they have more power over you than you over yourself. But when I realize that the all-powerful one is over me, that even though this one's railing or this one's accusing me or this one's maybe saying this, and it really may hurt, I don't have to respond in like manner. That God is my defense. God is the one. I mean, there's even a passage, I think it's in Romans 12. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In other words, leave it with me. Let me take care of the situation. Let me take care of them. And my prayer isn't that. My prayer, oh yeah, you get them, Lord. I want God to reach them, to change them, so the vengeance can be taken off. Amen? Don't we? There's a passage that says even our enemies will become that of our own household. But then verse 15, though, this is it. Verse 15, it says, you don't do what they're doing to you. And when you do what God wants you to do, there's a blessing that will come into your life. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Stay set apart to God with inside your heart. Stay on God's side. Stay where He is. The Word of God says that the kingdom of God is where? Now, we know Jesus seated at the right hand of God. There's an actual kingdom of God. Jesus is at God's right hand up in there in that New Jerusalem. But it also speaks about the kingdom of God is within you. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Stay in the kingdom of God. Stay in peace. Stay in righteousness. Stay in love. Stay in the way that God would respond. Stay in the way that Jesus would respond. See, when it says sanctify the Lord God in your heart, it's just saying stay on God's side. That situation is trying to get you upset. That situation is trying to get you angry. That situation is trying to get you to enter in there. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Stay on God's side. Look what it goes on here to say. And always be ready to give a defense or an answer. I think King James Version uses the word answer. To give an answer to every person that what? Asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. Listen, they're this way, you're this way. How are you able to be like that? Usually in situations like that, they're seeing such a contrast between you and them. And even at times, or maybe somebody watching it, man, that person just blew off on you. How did you stay so peaceful? See, they're asking a reason of this hope. They're wanting to know why you're different. Man, I would have just let off on them the same way they're letting off on me. They told me to go somewhere. I would have told them to go that way, that place too. People see that there's a difference because you're siding with God. You're living from God. You're living from the new creation. You're living from righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You're choosing to sanctify the Lord God within your heart. You're choosing to stay on God's side no matter what's coming at you. And it's a witness to that person. And it's a witness to other people. And then we need to be ready when they ask why. Man, you know what? I am so sorry the way that I just lit off on you and you didn't even yell back at me. You didn't even respond back at me the way that I thought you would. How do you do that? And it will give us an opportunity. Once again, like Jesus said in Matthew 13, you'll become that spiritual scribe. You've been instructed in the Word of God. You're going to take something out of your treasure and you're going to share it with that person. Is that pretty neat? It's got to work in everyday life. It's got to work right where we live. And so when Peter says here, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, sometimes we're thinking, how do I sanctify God in my heart? Sanctify, sanctify, holy. I got to live holy. I got to be holy all the time. How about just siding with God when you need to be siding with God instead of the other situation that you're being presented with? Isn't that being holy? I'm siding with God. I'm staying set apart unto God. Sanctify, set apart unto. I'm choosing to remain in the Spirit. I'm choosing to remain led and guided by the Holy Spirit or in the fruit of the Spirit instead of all this other stuff that he's talking about that our life is being attacked with. The accusations, the reviling, the evil, what somebody may be saying or doing to you, I choose to respond the way that God himself would respond, so I'm staying on God's side. Doesn't that make a little bit more sense than trying to figure out what sanctify the Lord God in your heart? Stay on God's side. Do it. Respond the way that he would. Choose what he would be like. Be compassionate. Be courteous. Be honorable to people. Treat people with dignity, even though that they're not treating you with dignity. Treat them with compassion, even though that they're not treating you with compassion. Love them as you would a close brother or a close sister, even though that person doesn't deserve it, because it will impact them. Scripture says God so loved the world. And there's some... You know, when I hear the news, I can get upset with some people on the news about a guy changing a 7-week-old baby's diaper and ends up killing a baby. You know, sometimes I don't really have a whole lot of compassion for somebody that couldn't get a baby to quit crying and they squeezed around the midsection so much it killed the baby. That's pretty crazy, right? But my Bible says God so loved that person. You see, there's something with inside that person that little 7-month-old baby that couldn't help crying because it's wet or it's hungry. Crying is just a natural response that a baby does. And here's this grown adult that feels so helpless. Well, I can't get this baby to quit crying. And something, some ungodly characteristic manifests to try to get that baby to shut up and ends up killing the baby. Is there an answer for that? That person's going to probably spend the rest of their life in prison. But is there an answer for that person? The answer is yes, and it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. and how much we hate things like that. It says we are to hate evil, and we do hate evil, and those things just make our stomach turn. But yet at the same time, I was like, if that person can be reached for Jesus Christ, then that whatever that situation, was he abused when he was young? Did something happen into him? Did he cry and was he beat for being cried? I don't know. There's a disgust that I have for something like that, and yet at the same time, God, can that person be reached for Jesus Christ? I want him reached for Jesus Christ. Do we have that type of compassion within us? Or, oh, that's good, you know, just fry him, baby. Oh, let's turn that voltage really up high and let his eyes pop out. Where's that come from? Right? So we have to realize that these truths are God is wanting to communicate to us so we can relay him, so we can be him, so we can be like him while we're living here on this planet. And so that we can manifest more and more the life, character, nature of Jesus Christ. And so that when people ask us about the truth that we have, or why we didn't react this way, or when we were ripped off and we just, okay, you know, let's get it right here. However the case is, that eventually we hope it will work out to the glory of God. Amen? We want to respond biblically. We want to respond the way that God wants us to respond. And the last one here that I'll close up with that goes right along with this is, oh yes, it's the one that I quoted earlier from 2 Corinthians. So we're going to close with 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you agree that we're all going through a transformation process? And the last two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 speak about this process. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, stop right there. Where's the Spirit of the Lord? Are you saved today? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit today? Where's the Holy Spirit? With you. So it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? It says there's liberty. And what this word liberty means is anything that is introduced into our life or part of our life that we would consider that's a bondage to us, that's a defective character trait, something that we might be inclined to sin in or depart from God in. This, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, he is always working within our life to separate us from anything that is not of God and bring into our life everything that is of God. And that's what liberty is. When you look up this word liberty, it's really two words. It's a freeman, or that you were bound by something and the binding is now undone and you are released from it. It no longer has a control over you. Therefore, the word liberty. Bound, released, liberated. Okay? And it says it's a transforming process. We with all unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, we see all these truths about Jesus, and all these truths are becoming reality within our lives. Or we are being transformed into that same image. Into what? The same image of what? The Lord. We're becoming more and more like the Lord. Wow, you might say, that's kind of crazy. No, that's crazy good. Into that same image from glory to glory. How is it done? By the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is within us. Okay, drop down here to chapter 4. Verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have been changed. We were in darkness in some areas. The light of God's truth has come in and changed us, as those two verses we just looked at. We have been completely transformed in this, and he wants us to give the light of this knowledge to other people. Verse 7, it says, for we have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence or the superiority of the power may be of God and not of us. I can't take any credit for the change that God's done in me. The only credit I can take is reading the Word of God. I mean, we have to hear what the Word has to say. The credit you can take is coming here tonight. You know, getting the Word of God within sight of you. When the Lord starts working, yes, Lord, you know, I just thank you. You're going to bring me to that place, Lord God. This is something that's reoccurring within my life. But the Word of God says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And this is like a bondage in me. And the Word of God says that those bonds get cut by the Holy Spirit and the truth of your Word within my life to cause me to be liberated in that area and never to succumb to that again within my life. That's what you do within my life. Then you want to bring that light of that truth that I have received in an area that was in darkness and to give that knowledge to somebody else. Because I have a vessel full of these treasures. I'm full of these treasures. And God just doesn't want us to keep these treasures to ourselves. He wants us to impart the treasures of His Word, the treasures of Himself, into other people's lives. Amen? And so just realize that you're a scribe of the Lord this evening. Let your yes be. When you come to a truth of God's Word and you understand it, and let the question come to you that came to Jesus. Do you understand these things? Do you understand what that means now? And you say, yeah, you know, I understand that. Let's say there's a subject you didn't know before. Yeah, I understand that now. Then just go on what Jesus says. Well, you're now an instructed scribe. And you are now a householder of that truth. You hold that truth as a reality inside your house. Let it come out when it needs to come out. It may be something you've learned many years ago, and it may be something you know, and you're really grounded. And it talked about old things and things new. Hopefully you're learning new things all the time, but there may be some truths that you were established in years ago. But there may be one, two, three, maybe somebody else that has never heard it. It's going to be new to them, even though it might be old to you, right? So just be an instructed scribe. Anything you know, do you understand it? And if your answer is yes, Lord, wow. He's going to want me to communicate this to somebody else. And this is what you need to trust in. He'll even help you communicate it. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. So trust in the anointing. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Anything that you know about God, and somebody may ask you of, okay, I'm on your side, God. You're sanctified the Lord God in my heart. I'm on your side. Let's go. This person is asking me a question. I'm asking you to bring everything to my remembrance that I need to know. I've been taught it. Help me communicate it to the best of your ability within me, Lord God, that I'm able to yield to you in. And begin to open your mouth and share. Amen? So, Father God, we thank you for these wonderful Yes, Lord, scriptures and these truths that you're wanting to communicate to us, Lord. Whether it be, as with Peter, things that are more important in our life. And that sometimes we don't know that there's things more important in our life than you are. And then you ask us, am I more important? And we say, yes, Lord. And then you say, okay, I want you to draw closer to me then. And this is what I want you to do. Or if there's something that we're not seeing, that we're blind about, but we've heard your testimony in, and we want to receive ministry, and we want someone to pray with us. And I was like, you know, I don't want to be blind in this area. I want the Lord's help within this area. It could be something that we don't know that we need to know. It could be for a prayer for healing. It could be an oppression or a sadness upon our life. And we know that that's not what God has for our life. And we're just not quite seeing how to get there. But we're going to go to a Jesus people. We're going to ask God personally, or we're going to go to get prayer. But we're going to get the answer that we need for our life. Or whether we're a person that's being taught the Word of God and we're understanding it. To realize that we've been given this treasure of these truths with inside of our own household, with inside of our own life, with inside of our own temple. And the Lord is going to cause people to come across our path and says, why do you have that kind of hope within you? And you're going to help us by the Holy Spirit communicate the things that we're learning to other people that are hungry, Lord. And so we thank you for these three yes, Lords that we've already looked at and that you are helping us, Lord. In all these areas. And we so desire want to be more used of you, but yet at the same time, when we need ministry, we need prayer, that we can come, Lord God, and get the prayer and ministry that we need for our lives. So we thank you, Lord God, for these truths that you are teaching us, and our lives are being changed as a result of them. In Jesus' name, amen.